said that there's no way that any of us could complete a 100-mile race in under 18 hours.
You either become a millionaire or you die.
Then yes, I think I could do it. But it would be very hard.
What are the top five running infinity stones? My five: train hard, race easy.
Self-hatred. Did you hear that the new Grand Slam season is going to be 200k now instead of 100?
Double or nothing.
Yeah, double or nothing.
Yeah, see if I can qualify for lacrosse. I would love to do that as well.
I'm excited to see you race this because it's been a while. You're excited though.
I'm super excited.
Yeah, I'm excited. This is going to be great.
All right, Seth Ruling here. Just hearing this, I don't think will finish. I think they'll, by the end of it, end up dead because it doesn't sound like their mind is in the right spot.
Find out more on the Coffee Club podcast.
Okay.
Like and subscribe.
Coffee Club, Coffee Club. Grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie, Morgan, George, and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Coffee Club podcast for episode 207. And today we are back with another round of Q&A questions. You lovely people sent in so many good ones, and we had a lot of fun doing them last week that we just thought, you know what, let's just keep the good times rolling. And big thank you to everyone in the comments who responded to Ollie's question. Got a lot of love.
Thanks, guys. We feel seen together.
Yeah.
Ollie feels seen.
We feel seen together.
There was a couple of people who said, because I don't know if, do you guys remember we joked that about people putting it on at dinner time and making their partners watch it or something?
Yeah.
There's a couple of people that do that.
Really?
Respect.
I respect that.
I do rate that.
Just
background noise.
I can just imagine though that their partners, if they ever see us in real life, they're going to be like, oh God, these guys are real.
Do you think we're equivalent to like putting on Lo-Fi Girl?
I hope so. That'd be a good place to be in.
Damn, that'd be a good place
to start.
An amazing place. Lo-Fi Girl graduated this year.
He saw what something about that.
Oh, yeah, she graduated. Because like the whole point of like...
She's been studying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, she graduated. But she's always going to be there.
So what studying. Does she do now? Did she get a job or something?
She's just working at home. So it's just the same one.
PhD.
Yeah. She's doing a PhD.
I've got a Q&A to kick us off.
Let's do it.
Ollie, what's going on your feet? Are you wearing two different socks?
Whoa. Guys, hop on the YouTube version and get a load of this.
Is there like one ankle sock and one quarter sock?
I'm just noticing this now.
This is diabolical.
Did you know you were doing this, Ollie?
No.
What's going on?
just got called out.
Just an easy move.
The one day I don't wear my fish my fish flops, I get my feet looked at. Look, I did my laundry and we get a lot of on socks. And like, to be honest, they look pretty similar.
They are the same model of sock, but one is the ankle and one is the quarter crew.
And I've obviously like swapped out two pairs and I've tied them up together and Geordie's just called that out. But to be fair, it's kind of trendy. It's kind of in right now.
Follow up Q&A. How are you guys super strict on making sure you get the left and the right on your socks correct?
Geordie obviously is.
I am as well. But
I am.
Sometimes yeah. The socks is hard to, sometimes you don't see them very well on certain models.
There are occasions when if they're actually the same and they really have just written left and right on them, I'm less strict about it. But if there's like some part of it that is like
is not symmetrical,
then I'm strict on it. Those ones, I think I'm more strict. This is just
a typical type A, type B moment for personalities, isn't it?
Okay.
I'm a definite type B.
I am strict about my socks. That is in like no ankle socks.
That's
without
a gateway
Christian.
Into your strict strict routines.
But this is like next level.
It's not that bad. They're the same color.
I think it's just a credit to Ollie that he's not getting bogged down by the little things in life.
No, I got so many other big problems to worry about.
That's probably really healthy mentally that you can put them on and not have a problem with it. I'll put that on.
Fast and loose, baby.
I'd have to go home.
Look, you ever do laundry? And then you got your socks right, and then you're pairing your socks up, which I do that. I'm not as strict. I just pair them up to like if they look the same.
Just color.
Yeah, yeah. I pair them up if they look look like they're the same sock, right? But you know, sometimes when you do that with your laundry, I'm sure our fans have the same thing. And then there's a couple of socks where like where the fuck is the other pair?
Oh wait,
this other one's missing, right? So I have a special section.
I have odd socks.
Yeah, so I put my odd socks in the special second, and the satisfaction when you do another laundry load
and it comes
and
through,
then it recycles through
it
and
magically
you can fold them up and put them in their place. Dude, it is the greatest feeling getting that done. It's like completing a puzzle. It's fantastic. I do that sometimes.
So do you think the other set of these are also connected?
Oh yeah, so these two here. So do you do the sock thing where you grab your sock and then you kind of fold your sock over it so then the two socks are together? That's what I do.
Like when you put them away.
you mean
how else would you do it?
What else?
People have other methods.
Like what?
Do they?
Yeah. I've seen a drawer where people would just have the two socks and they place them next to each other like that.
They don't like fold them on top of each other?
That's insane.
Yeah. talk about type B, right, George?
That's awesome.
But with these ones, they're definitely like...
They're close enough.
Yeah, so what's happened is I've paired up the wrong sock.
So it means there's going to be another day where you have it switched.
There's going to be another day where I'm wearing these ones. But the nice thing is I'll probably wear them and then I'll do a wash and then I'll be like, oh, this one's missing. And then I put it in my little special file and then I'll do another wash and then it comes up again and then the puzzle is filled and then I can like fold it up and put it away. So
and everything will be right.
And everything be right with the world.
To stay on topic, do you know what I learned recently?
You hate my socks?
That crazy folding technique of t-shirts.
Oh, yeah.
Where you like put one hand over the other and then like flip it and it like...
Can you do that?
Makes a I can now. I just learned how to do it. Life changing.
I can't do that.
Do you know what I'm talking about, Mom?
No, not for me.
No one will ever fold your clothes better than your parents. That's what I've noticed. My parents are amazing at that.
I wish I had a t-shirt.
Actually, Cinta folds my clothes better than me. She doesn't let me... So if I'm doing the laundry... I fold my own clothes and I'm not allowed to fold her clothes because I do it too badly.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty bad.
I know the method you do because I know people that do it. They pinch the sides and they twist it and then they fold it over.
Do you want me to give you a demo, Morg?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, if only we had a coffee club shirt over there. It's insane.
Can you do it with Tim Tams?
Tim Tams?
There's a Tim Tam box over there.
Oh, this is perfect. This is amazing.
I love it that we've immediately got sidetracked in the first 20 minutes of this part.
All right, watch this. Okay, you lay it out to...
Step one.
Just like on the floor or on the bed, wherever you're doing it, head to the left. Okay. I got a left hand goes here.
This is really entertaining radio right now.
You ever seen that before?
No, that was amazing.
Did it blow your mind?
It's amazing. I just don't know.
Like that's harder though. That takes more like effort than just normal.
But I think it's better. And I normally don't even fold them.
I usually find a shirt that looks really similar and then I like roll them up together and then I put them in the drawer.
Then you have a pile for your odd shirts.
Yeah, and then I have a pile for shirts that don't match the other shirts that I got to fold in together.
It's big for me because I'm not a big folder.
Wait, what do you normally do with shirts? You hang them.
I would hang them. Or my running shirts just get stuffed in a bin.
Oh, wow.
Okay, running shirts
get wrinkly?
Yeah, not really.
Yeah, but but they're just like running shirts, so I'm less worried about them. My nicer shirts, I've started doing this because I decided the hanger was bad for them. They get all stretched out.
That's satisfying.
Particularly with some of the cotton ones.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Cool. Right, thrilling.
Glad we got that
thrilling out start to the podcast.
That was good.
I just get fucking ridiculed straight away. I didn't notice until like 20 minutes ago. I should have put my fish flutters on. I should have, that would have been
a better deflection,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, so yeah, that's the level of Q&A that we're going to have coming at you guys today. So get excited for that. Before we get into it, it is actually NCAA cross week. It's the biggest week of the year for cross country. The race is on Sunday, I assume, or Saturday.
We've been covering it every week since.
And as you would know, yeah, we've been really hyping it up this year. It's been real intense. We debated whether we would even mention it before the pod, but I think it deserves a mention just because it's an awesome event. But are you guys doing a prediction contest again this year? Do you know?
Haven't heard a peep.
No. I definitely don't think we are. I mean, to be honest, like we're in a bit of a hiatus at the team at the moment because we don't really have like a meeting point. And usually with that sort of stuff, you'd be able to watch
Well, isn't Andy on sabbatical? That's the main reason, I think.
Yeah, Andy's also on sabbatical. But we don't, like, usually, like, the last time we did it, I didn't do it.
Andy's good at organizing.
But last time the team did it, they, like, watched it on the TV.
You didn't do it last year. I remember that. You held out.
Yeah.
Why was that?
I...
Because then you still did. You still watched it.
I watched it. I enjoyed it. It was great.
But you didn't want to.
I just wasn't interested in doing that. I don't like putting faith in stuff that I don't know too much about.
Whoa, that's deep.
Still did a fantasy draft.
I'm really into fantasy. To be fair, I'm very into fantasy. I'm very pissed off about this week, to be honest. But that's the discussion for another time.
Would you rather? You mean saying this big? Would you rather win NCAA Cross or World Cross? I guess you've already won one of them.
Well, yeah,
Would you trade now? Would you not right now?
Like in your career, that's like a one time career type dealio.
Would you trade your NCAA Cross win in Wisconsin home course?
No.
Maybe the greatest NCAA Cross like film. Would you trade that for a World Cross win?
No, I wouldn't. I think NCAA Cross.
Honestly, that's commitment because I would have traded it
really?
For a world championship. World champion in cross country?
Yeah, but
dude, NCAA.
But world cross is not as hype as NCAA cross.
I think I would choose. I honestly think I would choose NCAA.
I think it's more of a personal level. Like you would, at a personal level, you would say, I'm a fucking world champion at cross country. At a personal level, as an athlete, as a people that respect the sport, that's massive. However, NCAAs, I can see it's like a larger than life thing where it's a bit bigger.
No, but even, I don't know, man. I guess, like, we don't know anyone that's won a World Cross title, so it's hard.
We are going to, though, soon.
Yeah, so true. I just think World Cross, like, okay, let me ask you this, like, well, I guess you could do this for NCAA Cross as well, but it's like, tell me, like, where the last World Cross was.
Bathurst.
Serbia. But I couldn't tell you.
It wasn't Serbia?
It was not interesting.
I thought it was, and, like, I thought it was
and,
Australia.
Like, tell me anyone that came in the top 50 in that race.
Jimmy G, probably.
Maybe he did. I don't know, actually. Probably not, though. It's just,
I don't think I could tell you.
And, like, the thing is, I obviously, and probably all of us would be like, that's a travesty. Like, it should be the biggest.
Well, maybe that's why they're pushing it now.
It seemed like it was way bigger when, like, Ritz was running.
It was because,
like, Kaylee ran every year, like, all the top guys.
Every year, and they used to have two races. They used to have a short course and a long course.
That's right. Like a 12K and a 4K or something.
I think so. Wouldn't that be epic to run a 4K cross?
Yeah, would not be epic to do a 12K.
It'd be a freaking sprint.
It'd be so hard.
4K would be a carnage.
Yeah. 4K would be pretty sick.
Yeah.
And Bekele would win like both of them because he was freaking goat.
But I would like winning a world cross would also make my life. So it's like, I'm not downplaying. I don't mean to downplay.
No.
I think it's an amazing thing. And I think it's the junior world cross race is like the hardest race in the world specifically. I do think that.
You've run that. I don't think George and I have ever run that. No.
I've never run a world cross.
But
I never run a world cross.
Like,
yes, you have.
Well, relay. I wouldn't classify relays.
That counts.
You were there at world cross on the course for Australia winning a medal.
Oh, yeah, I was.
Oh, yeah.
Well, look, I would say running the race itself is a big feat because, like, talking to Kai about it, Kai's pretty into it too.
Kai did really well at it.
He did amazing.
Yeah.
Was he top 20?
No,
he was close to 20.
I thought he was. I thought he was like 17th or something. No?
Maybe it was either right under or right over.
He was right around 20.
Which is amazing. It's so good. Like, it's so hard to do that. And I think maybe this is the American, living in America for so long does change this. Because, yeah, if you were in to be fair, I think NCAA is really popular in Australia now as well. But I think if you weren't in America, you would be more into World Cross compared to NCAA Cross. But once you've gone through the NCAA system, I feel like NCAA Cross is... Yeah, it just has this special shine to it. So, but they're both really crazy, cool races. And
what are we looking forward to this week?
Dude, just carnage. I don't know. Like, it's hard to, we obviously know that Iowa State on the men's side, Iowa State, Oklahoma State are really good. Our alma maters are solid, but not competing. Well, I don't know if I'd say NAU's competing for a podium this year. Probably not, right?
I don't think so.
Not on the men's side, at least. It's hard to keep up. I think things have just changed so much in the last few years. The level is so high. There's so many new Kenyans that are just so fucking good. They're every year. Like, I'm watching and maybe it was Nutty Comb, and I'm watching, his name I think is Valentino Soca from CBU, I think that's his name. Mm-hmm. He's a world finalist in the 5K, and in this Nutty Comb cross race, he's just getting buried. I'm like, wow, this is different to back when I went to school. It's just, yeah, the level is so crazy, and it's just so hard to follow from the outside, it seems like now. But I think regardless, like, the team races are going to be so amazing to watch, and I mean, it's going to be such a sick race, but it's just, we're getting too old to keep up with it, I guess. I don't know.
It gets harder and harder every year, not going to lie.
I mean, I don't think NCAA cross is the only factor. I think indoor and outdoor NCAA is also going to get harder. Just,
yeah.
Just, I think when you get more removed, it's harder to follow, but hopefully we can...
When we knew, when Mike Smith was winning every year, it was really easy to follow.
It was a very easy,
you know,
thing to pick. But he's,
that was probably the greatest years of NCAA cross.
Yeah, and now he's moved on to winning in Nike's eyes with the Flagstaff group.
Seems like one of them are going to run cross.
Yeah.
He's been preparing.
He's gonna set up the world cross Mike Smith dynasty now.
Yeah. No, I think it's sick that these guys are gonna go and do USA cross, because it's like, take advantage of those opportunities. Well, cross is only in America once every, I don't know, 30 years or something. So try and get on that team and go, because it's going to be awesome. And speaking of, is that our NCAA cross preview, actually? Is there anything else?
Good luck to everybody running the NCAA cross, and we'll be watching.
Yeah.
How much do we think Jane is going to win by?
Oh, my God.
2 or 3 minutes?
Is she actually going to win?
Apparently, she's a favorite.
She is? Because a lot of the other really women...
She won the mountain region by like 45, 50 seconds over that New Mexico, the New Mexico girl, like Kosge or something. Who's
Pamela?
Yeah, that's New Mexico, right?
I think so.
Who's like legit.
And so good.
God, and she just like ran over the line and was just like chilling. It's actually...
It's pretty rare to see someone... like make that jump so easily, and it's funny to see it happen in front of your eyes, and just, it's like, oh yeah, she's just like the best ever.
Yeah,
it's so casual.
Yeah,
just like that. But that's how it goes, I guess. But
something in that Provo water.
Yeah, they're pretty good at running cross country, aren't they?
And marathons, anything like that,
crushing. So
just a way of life out there.
We'll be watching, despite our lackluster, our ability to not really name any specifics at NCAA Cross, we will be heavily supporting and enjoying the meet, because it's still such an amazing spectacle, and it's still so fun to get around and watch both the individual and the team battles and both the men's and women's races. It's always so good. So we're tuning in.
And off the back of that, inspired by, maybe you'll be inspired, a week later, Australian cross country
Trials. Yep. So I don't know if the field is definitely set or not, but when I looked a few days ago, I got a good preview of who I'm going to be up against, which was, it's exciting. It's not like literally everyone from Australia is doing it. Like it seems like none of the MTC guys are doing it. So that's a decent piece of the pie gone right there.
No Rainer?
Not that I saw.
He also ran good in Bathurst.
He's probably done pretty well there before. I would expect so. But instead, we have Seth O'Donnell, the legend.
Go Hawks! Legend.
I think it's going to be my first time ever racing him. It could be wrong, but I think it might be. So that's pretty exciting.
World Championship qualifier.
And
Seth O'Donnell.
Yeah. Australian 5K champ.
True.
Yeah. Crazy, right?
He won the 5K. Yeah.
He beat so Kai.
Good. So good.
He beat Cam. Because Cam was second, Kai was third.
Yep.
You're right. Yeah.
Because I got Kai sick, so that was probably on me.
So Seth, I think, I have no idea. I mean, it's not like it really matters for a cross race. It's like you go out there and you just race it. I kind of hope he just like makes it really hard the whole time though, just because why not? You know, just
well, have you seen his training recently on his Instagram?
No.
Holy
Has he been training for cross country or track?
He's been doing... everything. He's training. He's posting a lot of reels, Morgs, so you wouldn't be able to see it, but
fill me in.
He did 2 3Ks. He did a 3K at 8:15
at a club night, like a race.
A club night race. He did 2 3Ks. Race one, the B race, 8:15, jumped off the track, got a lactate reading. Very important. Didn't tell anyone.
Oof.
then went back on the track, 755, 3K, lactate reading, 3 300s. And then he's also telling me that he's starting, he's telling everyone, sorry, not just me. I feel like it's just me and him when I'm watching his reels.
It's private
stuff. He's private reels. Yeah, but he's running these long runs and he's doing them, which is what we do actually quite a bit of the time, is like tempos. He's like, oh, like long runs, you know, you get bored, you know, which is like a very, very cool way to change the long run is you put a bit of a tempo in it, right? I think I read this right. I think he starts his long runs at 340 per K. Is that quick or is that not quick? Because I'm so in
it's
the
six
mile.
6 minute pace.
It's right. It's like 5.
So he starts there and then he progresses.
What a beast.
He's just.
The thing is, he's really fucking good.
He's like, very good at training, man. He's also
really good at racing.
Yeah. He runs on his own. He fucking grips it. So it's going to be
really good.
He's going to be good to run with. I think he's going to be like a good competitor in cross, like what you've competed against in NCAA's Morgs. I think he's going to be like one of those guys that you're just like, this is a guy.
Seems like cross would be.
One of his better.
Up his alley.
Well, he's won nationals in something, didn't he?
Like in cross.
Or medaled. Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know.
I think when he was on the come up. But I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah. So it's going to be, I mean, it's funny for us because like I was speaking to someone this morning. They're like, what was the last cross race you did? And yeah, it was sound running. But then before that, it literally was, I think, NCAA cross. Right?
Yeah.
It's just so weird to think about.
Yeah.
Have you not run world cross? Did you only run junior?
Only juniors.
And that was pre-NCAA or during?
I ran it once pre and once my freshman year. So
since you won NCAA cross, you've run sound?
That's it.
What?
Isn't that so weird to think about? And it's like...
I've run more cross country than you, and I ran in real life.
But it's like...
It's crazy.
It's crazy because like, all of us would say like, yeah, we love cross. But it's like, well, you haven't done it in like 6 years. So
that's because there's no cross
what's
races.
What's going on? But anyway.
So what are you going to do between tomorrow leaving for Australia and the race, which is 1 week after NCAA?
Yeah, Friday week, the 28th. Thanksgiving. No, Black Friday, actually, sorry. What am I going to do? Mostly just recover from the flight.
True.
And then just
are you going to the course? No.
I'll go the day before. I don't know if I'll go see the course or not. I mean, Canberra's not that big, so maybe I'll just pop over there.
You should shout out Cam Myers and he could take you around.
Well, I believe Cam Myers is racing as well.
I was going to ask that.
That makes sense.
In the 10K.
It's in his neighborhood.
Yeah. I mean, he trains on that course, I'm sure. He's just chill for him. But I feel like he'll be really good. I think he'll be really, really good at it as well. I wonder if he's trying to do the 2K.
If he wants to go.
If he wants to do the 10K.
They would have given him a spot for it, for sure.
There's no 2K trial.
There's no trial for it. They just pick it.
I'll just pick
it. They just do names out of a hat, actually.
Okay, Seth, Cam.
And then, I mean, there's a lot of other just solo people. But the other one name, the final name that I'll mention that jumped out at me, which is cool that I get to race him, is James Whelan, who is, if that name doesn't mean anything to you guys right now, maybe you have seen, because he's kind of blown up a bit on the socials, I think, because he went to Valencia and he ran a 61:30 half and he was the one that was the pro cyclist.
I was about to say, is he the cyclist?
Yeah. And so I think he's obviously transitioned to running, but I know that at one point his goal was to transition all the way to triathlon. So I don't know if he's still doing triathlon or not, or if he's just doing the running part of it. But he's a really good runner, 61:30 at Valencia.
Yeah, no joke.
He's doing the trials, so he'll be there. But there's also just a lot of other like really solid good people that'll be there. So I think it should be a really fun race. And yeah, back to like how I'm thinking about it and the fact that I haven't done. Like, it's like, I didn't even comprehend. It's like, oh, you're about to go race, like, a 10K race. Like, that's a big race. Like, it's not nothing.
I mean,
and it's cross, so it's a little bit different to if you're hopping on the track or whatever. But I think I'm just excited to be in a pack, just be
your
racing.
Your cross record,
just
though,
vibe
is
it out.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to race.
I would not want to race your cross. I mean, you've had your say. For me, personally, I remember... Big Tens, I think that's probably the best cross season I've ever had. I was like, oh, I might try and get Morgan for the win. Morgan was sick the day of.
And
we know what Morgan is like when he's sick. We know what he's like. We know what he's like. He was sick.
Barely functioning.
I was like, I'm going to rip. I went and it's a pretty cool video, but I went and I'm like, I'm in really good shape here. I'm like, doing well. And then we get to the last section of the race. It felt like I was doing really well. And then Morgan just like looked at me like just went, oh, okay, see you later. And then just went up the hill and I like I was walking. It just went up the hill and won it. And then I got second. I was like, holy fuck.
Yeah, and I was hanging off my life that day.
And I was like, holy fuck. Because then Mick pulled me aside. He's like, dude, you ran amazing. But like, Morgan was sick. Morgan was like barely functioning. I'm like, oh my God, this guy's going to win in Sablaze. And then he did. But I would not want to race you with your track record. I'm excited to see you race this because it's been a while. But I also think this could be really good way to start the new season.
Well, that's
across.
The bigger picture.
I think it's really good way because like it's a very, very, I wouldn't say because of the distance from you racing your last cross race to now, I would say it's familiar, but I'd say it's very, very much a familiar situation for you. Like the comfortable cross, like your mentality, the way you've run cross, like
well, I just your wanted experiences to, with it. Like, you know, I haven't raced in a long time now and I've been coming back from injury and it's, I wouldn't say I'm at like top fitness. I feel like I have to still get in a lot more training to get to where I want to be, but
Russ Buster
you don't want to not race forever. You want to do stuff and cross country is perfect for that because it is something that I feel like we all feel the same way. It's like every time you step on the track, there's a certain amount of pressure attached to the clock or whatever it is. Cross country, it's like, yeah, you just get out there and you race and you get to experience what I think this sport is like really, really about. So that is like the big overall picture of like why I'm really excited to go and do this stuff. It's like, yeah, just dip my toes back into the water, do it at home at Stromlo. I'm really excited to just go get to run on Stromlo again and just to get race a good field like this. And yeah, see if I can qualify for World Cross. I would love to do that as well as part of this kind of journey to just base training phase or whatever you want to call it. So that's how I'm looking at it. I'm not like this. Yeah, that's why it's nice is because it doesn't feel like there's the same pressure as if you were going to step on an indoor track and everyone's like, when you step on an indoor track, everyone's like, well, you got to go fucking run as fast as you can.
particularly BU.
Yeah.
But like, you're excited though.
I'm super excited.
Yeah, I'm excited. This is going
to
be great.
I'm excited to go back to Australia as well for a little trip.
Yeah.
This time of year should be good. So.
Yeah, I'll see you there.
I don't think I will see you there, Ollie.
Are you going to be back here in time?
Yeah, I'm coming back like right after the race.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Ah.
So, you just told us that.
Oh. I thought that was a joke. I thought you were going to stay forever and then we're going to do a little training camp.
That'd be nice, actually.
Oh. Okay.
Next time. We'll do it later. You know what?
White fence run.
Dude, Centennial Park,
white fence run.
So anyone who's listening that's in Australia, you can probably catch me running around the white fence most days at either between 9 and 10 a.m. and then again probably around 5 p.m.
There you go. You've heard it here first.
Go find Morg.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Just before we get into maybe Q&A, speaking of triathlon, should we just like touch on...
What happened?
Have you caught up on some triathlon results over the weekend or are you that out of social media?
You haven't seen it.
What happened?
Were you there? Well, did you like catch the end of it on our run on Saturday that Parsons was talking about or asking us if we'd seen it that morning? No. Like when we all ran together?
I was gone, I think.
Maybe it was right when
you're in for a treat now, George.
What happened, guys?
So T100, which you do know about. T100 Dubai was on this weekend.
Yeah, I did. I was there when Sam Parsons was talking about this.
No one really knew what had happened though, because it had just happened. But now we're all a bit more clued in.
Give it to us.
I don't know if it was a good field, but Hayden was there. Pearson.
Hayden, Morgan Pearson. Bunch of people we know.
And long story short, the organizers or the races, I don't know whose responsibility it is, messed up the laps on the bike and the run. And so that no one, when the race finished, no one knew who had won. The guy who crossed the finish line and held up the tape was not the winner. And the guy with the fastest split in like all the events was also not the winner.
What an event.
And Morgan Pearson, congrats for doing the right amount of every event.
Yeah.
So it ended up being the winner.
Wow.
And like Hayden Wild ended up having to ride a full extra lap of the bike.
So he was winning. And then he got sent on another lap? Is it on him or is it on the organizer? Do they have like a bell or something that they ring? I assume they do.
See, that's the one I don't know.
The way that the athletes have been taught, like, because Morgan Pearson posted about it as well as the German guy who finished like and celebrated. He
thought he won.
He got second. And he actually did an, like, he said like a speech about like how like it was very well, very disorganized. So I would say it's 50-50. With the amount of laps, I'm guessing that like they should have had some accountability with the officials to help the athletes, because if you're competing in that sort of thing, like without a lap count, it's probably pretty...
The run did have a lap count. So the bikers, they went past transition and did an extra lap, like the leaders. In the run, the board came up and showed that people were done and sent them to the finish
line.
So that was the fault.
So there was a fault on them.
That one said they were done and they were a lap short. So they just like, they were just like, the guy who was winning was still running.
So that's not a fault on the athletes.
This stuff is the worst because then there's nothing they can really do about it, right?
Yeah.
There were protests.
They were very, very, honestly, the way that Morgan and I can't remember the German guy's name. But the way that they handled it.
Mika Noot.
They were very, very respectful of their competitors, but they're more so like, this is
Well,
like,
that's because they came first and second, so they probably didn't mind that much.
Because they got the money.
Yeah, it was the guys that lost out.
How was Hayden feeling about it?
Look on the videos, he looks pretty pissed.
He was swearing. He was swearing in
some
of those videos.
If I watch a race of Hayden, he looks pissed on like a good day. So I can't imagine how he was feeling on this day.
He was pretty riled up.
He did the classic Kiwi Aussie for fuck's sake. He dropped a few of those during the run the bike. So.
I think he's won like six in a row or something.
Yeah.
He was in the lead by a lot, wasn't he?
I think he was in the lead by a lot.
Enough.
It's crazy that can happen.
That's like taking like a lap counter era on the track to the next level.
Yeah.
If you have to go ride an extra 10Ks or something.
They got big money at stake there.
80K for the win, wasn't it? I think.
Yeah.
Probably. Isn't that Saudi backed?
I don't know. I just know
when
it's
the,
big
when's
money.
When the Saudis going to back a track league?
I can't believe Michael Johnson didn't
Grand
get
Slam.
On that.
Open the purse, boys.
Guys, they didn't disclose their investors, so.
Oh, good
you
point.
You don't actually know.
Yeah, but if it was them, I feel like they would have paid up.
Yeah, but counterpoint, if it wasn't them, they probably would have said who it was. You know what I mean? Unless they wanted to be anonymous.
Unless they were like Russia or something.
But like most track leagues that have an investor that people like, they say who it is.
Well, it could be Russia. Because Russia's banned at the moment, right? They have the ban.
I'd be shocked if Russia was backing Grand Slam.
I would also be quite surprised.
Did they really not say who it was? If they're not saying, it could be a possibility. You don't know who it is. It could be.
I believe not.
Could be Elon Musk. We don't know.
We'll have to get the AI guy.
We'll have to get Kyle
on here to fill us in.
The AI guy. What's his name?
The
one that invented the Meta.
Like OpenAI guy?
Yeah, OpenAI.
Sam.
Sam Parsons?
I can't remember. Sam Altman? Yeah.
Sam Altman. Yeah.
Yeah, he was probably back in it.
Yeah, he's probably back in it.
Anyway.
Did you hear that the new Grand Slam season is going to be 200K now instead of 100?
Doubled down.
They're doubling down. They said, no, we're actually going to like raise
double
the price.
Double or nothing.
Yeah, double or nothing. So the thing is, either you get double or you get nothing.
I thought you made that up on the run.
I did make that up. It's a joke. You believe me?
No, I didn't. But I was.
You did. You just said.
Yeah, but I thought you made it up this morning, but then you came, you doubled down as well on the podcast.
I'm doubling down.
Well done.
I'm doubling down.
Yeah, apparently isn't Aflo starting a league? Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's happening this coming year.
I don't know much more information other than it's being started. Well, the long jump stuff in Times Square was very successful, I think.
Was it?
Yeah. It was like very, very successful. But then the track stuff wasn't as much.
Really?
They need to have the track in Times Square too.
They need to do like some sort of fucking loop.
Bring a 200 banked track into Times Square.
Because like the thing with Times Square is everyone's just like looking around just for looking to do shit or watch shit. It's perfect. Like long jump is sick.
90% of those people were probably so confused.
Yeah, they're like, what the fuck is going on? But I'm going to go watch it. But it's great. It's great for the PR. Like it looks
90%
good.
90% like random like Russian and European tourists. Yeah. They were just like, get the shit out of here.
Yeah, I'm trying to go to Gucci.
Trying to get a picture
of Elmo in Times Square.
Yeah. Well, glad that we got that out of the way. Why don't we hop into some Q&A and we'll start off with some rapid fire Instagram ones just to wet our toes a little. First question, Morgan, will you be sponsored by On next year? Yes. Yes. There were a couple of people that when I announced, I think this always kind of happens. There were some people who there was confusion that I was leaving On when I announced that I was leaving the OAC, but I am remaining with On. On is looking after me and they've been very, very kind to me through this whole process, I have to say. So I have to give them a lot of credit. So yeah, I am still with On, luckily. Not answering that one. Sorry, I didn't read that one before. That was the one, if you guys remember, that was the one that last week I said, I'm not answering this one on the podcast. I don't know if you remember what it is.
I think I do. I think I do.
Sorry, whoever asked that. What is each of your proudest moments in your own running careers? Well, you guys have more epic, like obvious ones than I do. So I got to think about this a bit more.
Yeah, but it's a cop out saying those ones.
I don't think it is a cop out. I guess you could have something else technically, but it's a deep question actually.
But what, my proudest moment?
Yeah. I can tell how bad you don't want to say it, but I
think it's either between obviously Com Games, but making the final in Tokyo.
Yeah.
For me was like a pretty proud moment because I came a long way from that because I was.
That's a good point because like I didn't think about this until you said this, but you could even put like for me like making the Olympics.
Yeah, like making for both of us in particular, like that whole year. That year, like COVID, leading up, like it was just craziness. With COVID. It was just being able to get there was hard enough, but to make the final for me was like pretty amazing. But it's between those two, the making the final at the Olympics in Tokyo or winning Com Games, which was obviously like the highlight, probably the highlight of my career at the moment, success-wise. So
those both make a lot of sense.
But
George, is it what we would think or is it something different for you?
It's probably what you think. I will go with
pen relays, right?
Pen relay, double pen relay win.
So what am I?
So Ben Franklin crossover.
Benjamin Franklin.
Sir Walter / Benjamin Franklin. Now probably Worlds, but more just because of where I was at in Paris.
Yeah, the context surrounding it.
Yeah, I think the turnaround from Paris made it more that. Yeah.
Makes sense. No, it was an amazing story. Yeah, mine is, going back to what we were talking before, like winning NCAA Cross at home was pretty special just because of all the factors that went into that. Like, I don't know. I always said after I did that I'm like, I don't know if I'll ever be able to do something that compares to this in the rest of my running career, just because when I came in as a freshman, it was like, hey, just so you guys know, when you guys are fifth years, we're going to host NCAA Cross here. So like just
also that year was that. Filled,
just like make sure you win that one.
Yeah, but just also be aware of that.
Like, that year was full of like heavy hitters.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean every year is.
Yeah, but that year in particular, year. If you look at like
that year was full of global, people. They were people that were really easy to follow.
And also the global track stage now, if you look at like the people that are running now, a lot of them are running now in like a very, very high world level.
Yeah.
So like that kind of class recruit, like it's an all-star class.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. And also like, fuck, like it was snowing as well the night before. It snowed that morning. I was like, it was so fuck. Sick. It was.
Grant was second. Edwin was third.
Third.
Yeah. Mance was.
He was top 10.
Seventh or something. Clicker was
top 10, wasn't
top
he?
10.
Ninth or eighth or something.
Yeah. That was cool. But then also, kind of what you alluded to before, I think, like, I haven't had the success that I would want at a championship yet. But honestly, like, every time I've represented Australia has also been such a proud moment for me. Like, every single one for different reasons, you know? Because, like, the first ones were like, almost more like starstruck moments. And then even like making Paris, it's like, wow, like I making it for like a second time after years of injuries and stuff. It's like, fuck, you know, they're all special for their own different reasons, you know? Yep. So we have our tough moments. We all have our tough moments, but then we've all been lucky to have very moments that we can be very proud of. And that I'm sure we'll be telling stories about for, you know, when Coffee Club Pod from episode, I want to say like 500 to 1,000 will probably just be like us reminiscing about all these times. So you guys can look forward to that. Next question. This is this one might start an argument. Who would win in a 100 meter sprint between you three?
I'd say George.
Probably. Out of blocks?
Let's say not blocks because that's too foreign.
Or but standing start still.
I think it has to be a standing start.
I think George would probably win.
I think Ollie.
I think
just watching Ollie's race starts. I'm not good at the start of the race. I'm good at the end.
Yeah. I'm going to say Morgan just so he also gets a mission. No, I'm kidding. I'm actually you not that say, fast at sprinting.
Well, I'm thinking people's top speed, when you go to top speed.
Well, the thing is, we actually do nothing that I think indicates your 100 meter time in training, rarely.
No.
Like maybe a stride is the closest thing, but still, it's kind of a slightly different beast.
I think also if we actually got really competitive into it, George, I think you'd be very, we're not talking about the start of the end of the race. We're talking about a race, 100 meter race. I think you'd be competitive. It's not the start of the race. It's a race.
Wait, why don't we open up a timing more? What time range do you think is realistic?
Like what time I think I could run for 100 meters?
Yeah. Like are we under, what do you reckon the over under is, like 11.5, 12?
Definitely under 12.
You think? Yeah.
Definitely under 12.
Actually, yeah. That's not.
Under 12 flying. Under
yeah, 12, that's different standing start.
Standing start, I'm going so slow for that's the first 30 meters, dude. I guarantee it. I'm terrible off at the start.
George is more like a Noah Lyles type.
Yeah, so we changed the question to 200 meters then. 200 meters.
I have no idea.
12,
I actually don't know if I could break 12. I don't think I could break 12 for a standing start 100.
I don't know if
I feel like I could.
But you are, like what George said, you are really fast off the line. That's a real thing. That actually makes
not
a big difference.
Not the past year. The past year I've been at the back. When I want to. Yeah, I guess so. But maybe that's something we have to put in fruition. Maybe we should just not race each other, but individually just run 100 meters and then see who runs the fastest. I feel like racing each other will pull a hamstring. I think
it's probably not a good idea.
Three of us is not a good idea to go and run 100 meters. We'll pull a hamstring. But if we do it individually and then just get the best time wins, I think that's the most fair.
It sounds hard.
Running 100?
Not necessarily running 100, but trying to run on 100 as hard as fast as you could.
Without injuring really yourself? Hard. Yeah, it sounds very hard. It
sounds really hard.
It does sound hard.
So I'm happy that we don't do that. Sounds like a lot of stress over one little thing. So yeah, I don't know. That's a tough one.
You doing any speed development these days?
No. I gave up on that. You know me. I do my rhythm work. I do my two rhythm work days a week.
Are you doing this new thing with the band? I've been seeing people are doing a skipping thing with the band.
I don't do that.
Yeah.
I that's the type of thing I would get into though, but I just don't. I'm maxed out.
I know Drew Hunter's doing a lot of it.
I would do, I don't think I have time in my current schedule to do a speed development day. Well, no, it's not time. I don't think I have
the wants.
The capabilities, body. I think I'd injure myself. That would put me over the edge. See, I feel like if I was to do some form of speed development, and maybe I will end up doing this, I would do it on session days, either at the start of a session or the end of a session. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I would do it as a separate day.
I don't know. I think some people would say it doesn't make sense, at least at the end of a session.
Oh, because you need to be fresh.
Because you'll be fatigued and have a bunch of shit in your legs.
I think that
sounds high risk.
All sprint coaches would say that. They said you can't sprint.
It definitely wouldn't be speed development, I don't think, because you wouldn't be able to go that fast.
I guess I just don't believe in speed development then, to be honest, if we're talking about that.
I don't know if you need it as much.
No, I don't.
Your natural speed is elite.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think most of our natural speeds are good enough to win a race if you can get up to that speed the last lap.
To be fair, if you look at our careers, we've all won a race during a kickdown. So
yeah, but I'm just more saying talking about pure speed development, that is trying to make your 100 or your 60 time faster technically. Do you actually think that making yourself a faster 100 meters does have an impact even in the 1500?
I don't necessarily think being able to run it faster is better. I think being able to run it better is better. Smoother, yeah. More relaxed, easier.
But then what constitutes the time that would equate
just
being
a stopwatch?
So
if you just go out there and sprint as hard as you can, but it looks terrible and it's not relaxed and it's not fast, I don't think that does shit for you.
But you can look relaxed and smooth and run a 15 second 100.
I think that'll do a lot for you.
a 15-second 100 and the last 100 was 15.
This sounds a lot like, rhythm
no.
work.
No. Yeah, exactly. That's what Morgan does. That's what he's doing.
Well, no, we're talking
doing.
About speed work. We're not talking about rhythm work. I thought it was two separate things.
Yeah. So you start out making it smooth and easy and relaxed at 15. And if you can bring that down without trying any harder.
That's what I'm asking. I'm asking you.
Then I think that's worthwhile.
I'm asking like, yeah, development in session, not just,
I still don't think we do anything at a 100% sprint.
No, we never do.
Well, I think it's almost impossible to do that in our training schedule. One, because you do always have some level of fatigue in your legs. And then two, the risk, the marginal gains of sprinting at 95% compared to 100% is small compared to the risk. Like,
I feel like there's one guy
on
that's doing it pretty well, though.
Who's that?
Robert. I reckon Robert gets.
You think
95.
He goes 100%?
No, but 95. I think 90-95.
Yeah,
I think.
Like every 1% that you try hard to be on that is like so much stress on your body.
I would say that's more beneficial to Robert than to anybody.
It comes way more naturally to him.
Yeah,
but he's also like doing the craziest long runs ever, so he's just doing everything then.
Yeah,
he's
doing everything. He's the Swiss Army knife.
Yeah, and that's what the 1500 kind of is. It's a Swiss Army knife event in some ways.
I would agree to that because I fucking am doing everything right now. So
yeah,
makes sense.
So next question. Well, this is another Morgan one. Would Morgan ever consider moving to another state for training? Well, maybe we open this up to everyone as well.
Flig.
Right now, I would say Boulder feels very much like the ideal place, like the ideal setup for me personally. I would move somewhere else for training, but I just don't realistically think it would happen. But I would never say like, no, like you have to be in Colorado. You have to be. Like, I have to be here. I wouldn't move to a lot of places, but there are other places I would move to.
Give us a couple.
That I would?
That you would, yeah.
Wouldn't.
I'm saying you are.
Wouldn't.
I want
to. There's more than I wouldn't. I wouldn't move to anywhere that has, like, really bad weather or, like, is too city-ish. Does that make sense? Like, I wouldn't move to New York because of those reasons.
You wouldn't move
no
to LA?
To New York. No, I would move to LA, actually. Sorry.
I thought you said you wouldn't go to city.
Yeah, I was thinking like East Coast cities.
What about Oregon?
I would move to Oregon. I like Oregon.
Fuck.
I'd move to Washington. I'd move to California. I'd move to Arizona, New Mexico.
What about Washington? You say Washington?
Yeah. Yeah.
Washington's got bad weather.
Yeah, but I just think, I don't know what this is based on.
You know what's got really good weather? From what I've heard from a teammate.
What's that?
Mario Garcia Romo.
Well, Mississippi.
Mississippi!
greatest state in America.
He fucking loves Mississippi.
I would move to the south for half a year.
Have you heard the sunsets are really good?
He says the sunset's one of the most beautiful sunsets you ever see. I'm like, dude, we live in Boulder, Colorado. The sun sets behind the mountains. How beautiful can it get?
To be fair, I think Boulder has not the prettiest sunsets.
You serious? Dude, the colors I've had are insane.
I think, though, in other places, the colors are nicer.
Well, Arizona. Like, Arizona
has fucking crazy sunsets.
Carlos would not shut the fuck up about it. He would be raving about it. He's not wrong because the Suns.
Dude, one time.
The basketball team.
When I was staying with Sammy, he lived across the road from a Chili's and the sun would set over the Chili's. Can you imagine?
We've got to clip that
for Sammy and send it to him so he knows.
Doesn't
he knows it's getting any better. Doesn't get any better than that.
Chili's parking lot. Chili's
that's just like the American dream right there.
It's so beautiful. I can picture it.
Did you and him talk about it?
Yeah, of course. It was the best thing ever. It's like, dude,
grocery
so
store sunsets are often.
Sometimes King Supers gets like this.
Have you been to the Table Mesa King Supers when it's near sunset?
I haven't.
Man. I've never been in there.
It's a really nice King Supers.
Yeah.
It's fucking massive.
Yeah.
It's huge.
So I don't know if that was actually a good answer to this question though, because I pretty much it's just biased based on like where I'd like to live essentially. Mm-hmm. I guess that is my answer. Is like, I actually think that you can be a good runner in literally any state. I think it's more just like personally, like where you would like to go to where you're the happiest.
I mean, I think I would say this is fair. If Cinta is in that state, the happiness increases tenfold.
That's a big reason why I'm here right now. what about you guys?
I think in America, in America, pretty similar answer as well. Yeah,
yeah. Like obviously, you could see yourself like doing what you do here in a different state if like you had the setup there.
I can also see myself like when I get like to the age of retiring from running or going on the roads, I could go see myself going to a different state potentially.
Which state? What's retirement?
It would depend on where Meg wants to go.
You talking about Hawaii?
No,
back on that train.
We can't run in Hawaii, bro. What do you mean back on what train?
Florida.
Remember last week we were talking about you moving to Hawaii?
Oh yeah, hell yeah.
The coffee farm.
The coffee farm.
Florida.
Well, Florida, I mean,
the only reason I would want to
depends
go
try
on be a runner
your life
in Florida is because of the book Once a Runner.
Mm.
I think it's
the only reason
Gainesville.
I'm here is because of it's running with the Broncos.
That's the one.
Running with the Buffaloes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I'm here.
You're here because of Mark Wetmore.
Mark Webber, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I couldn't actually live in probably a southern state just because of the summer. I think I don't think I could live as a professional runner. This is.
Mm.
I don't think I could live in a place where you have to run at 6 a.m. or earlier in the morning in order to be able to survive.
How's the running in Alaska?
It's probably pretty cold, and then it's probably pretty nice.
Probably pretty dark and shit. You can probably get good real estate.
I don't. Is Alaska?
You get a big house.
I guess it's a massive place. Yeah,
you get a big house.
If you go to the right place.
A lot
I'm
of
sure.
nature and wildlife. It'd be a bit chilly. Might have to put the fireplace on. And
travel to races would be not ideal.
Yeah, but you know,
have you guys watched the Alaskan Mile? That
yeah.
thing on YouTube, pretty cool.
It was cool.
Yeah. All right, we're getting sidetracked. Next question:
what are the top five running infinity stones?
People or places or shoes?
What? I was hoping that you would be the one best able to interpret this question, only because you're the most cult.
I thought Ollie was just immediately double through shell.
Oh, yeah.
No, but that question's very open-ended because
really
it doesn't really
is.
Tell us. Like,
well, how would you like to interpret it?
We can interpret it any way we want. I mean, Infinity Stones pretty much means like the collective, like best out of a certain category. So like if you're saying
I don't
Infinity
think we
Stones
can do people because I think that's too...
Is it proficient? Is it being good at running? Wait, phrase it one more time.
What are the five running Infinity Stones?
That sounds like more of like a concept, like double threshold.
Yeah. Let's go with that.
I'm feeling training Infinity Stones.
I'm going to answer this for George. All right. Toe spaces, double threshold, flagstaff, tape in the mouth.
Ooh.
Nuka honey.
Love that.
How many Infinity Stones?
That's
there
five.
There's
five.
There was six. Isn't there one on the back?
No, there's the time, soul, power, reality, and
mind. Isn't there a mind?
The mind stone, that's five.
What about I'm not an
I can look
he's
it
our
up.
MCU
Let me
guy.
Look it up.
I thought there was
no,
six.
I mean I would know. I think Ollie's the our resident expert on anything pop culture.
I would trust Ollie, but I have a feeling there could be six, but I'm...
Well, this question...
You could be right. Honestly, like, I've been kind of out of the loop with Infinity
Stones. The fact that this question
Yeah, you're right. There are six.
This question said five, though, so that's interesting.
Space Stone is the one we missed. Reality, power, mind,
Dude,
time,
good job,
soul.
George.
Wow, look at me. Big MCU guy. Morg, what are yours?
My five. Train hard, race easy. As number one. Keep your easy days easy. Number two, double threshold. Number three, do strides and spikes. Number four, number five, have fun. And also, there's an asterisk with the strides and spikes.
You haven't actually done it.
You don't have to do it all year round. You can just, I just mean just use strides to get used to wearing spikes. So yeah, Ollie. You want to do five for yourself as well?
Yeah, you already did mine for me. Thanks.
Probiotics, carbs. No. Okay, my five Infinity Stones.
Hey, we didn't even mention carbs yet.
That feels like that should be one.
What are
huh?
we doing?
My five Infinity Stones for Ronnie. Six. Is it five? We're doing five or six.
We're just doing five.
Can you do hot tub sauna or does that have to be separate ones?
You can count it.
That's heat. Just say heat.
Heat?
When's the last time you did heat?
Huh?
What kind of Infinity Stone is that?
I have a fireplace. I lean against it in the evenings.
That's perfect.
I'm not as well equipped as you two with your little saunas. But I have my fireplace, so I lean against that. Heat, Mountain Dew, Buffalo Wild Wings, teammates, self-hatred.
Dude, that took me back to 2022 right there.
That's my vintage. That's my best
that's
year.
That's vintage, Ollie. That's all those teams.
But if you think about that, that sounds like an Ollie Hall Infinity Stones thing.
100%.
I mean, the 2026 Ollie Infinity Stones might be different. But
When was the last time you got B-dubs?
Do you live close to a B-dubs anymore? Can you DoorDash it?
You can DoorDash it from my house. Actually, you know what you've been eating a lot?
To your house, hopefully.
I make B-dubs. I have a kitchen.
From your house, you're actually... I actually am
a DoorDash Go Buffalo Wild Wings franchise, because that's how I can afford to have my house.
Genius.
The last time, I think it was with Meg. I think it was during... it was probably... middle of the year, maybe July.
That's a while.
June, July. Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I've cut back a lot of the...
Bird call?
No, you know what I've been getting a lot of, to be honest? I've been doing a lot of carver.
I wouldn't expect that.
A lot of carver.
Do you get the lamb?
Or honestly, the honey harissa chicken is pretty good. I do the classic, George. I'll do the grain bowl with basmati rice, not the brown rice bullshit. And then I'll do like a tzatziki and the balsamic glaze one. And then I'll do like tomatoes, cucumber, pickles, slaw. And I'll add in some feta. And then I'll also add in like a whole pita. So then I can make a little wrap for me in the side. And then I get one of those like mint lemonade lime juices. It's like $20.
Is that pretty filling?
Yeah, that's good for me. But I usually do that for lunch. I've been making my own meals. I've been making my own pasta sauces. Been getting into the cooking. But I haven't had B-dubs in a while. The nice thing is this week, we have a B-dubs night, which is planned, which is exciting. So... that will be the first time I have B-dubs in a few months. So, and you two will be having B-dubs too if you guys come.
Well, I'm not going to be there. Sorry. I'll go to Australia.
I thought we were faced.
You can face
teleport.
Them,
yeah. Teleporting.
Yeah,
you
that's
in.
Perfect.
Could get.
Wait, have you?
What's it called? Starts with P. Some chicken place. You guys.
Popeyes.
No, the Australian
Jinx.
One.
Oh, Oporto's.
Oporto's.
It starts with an O.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I was
Flame Coal. Flame Coal. Yeah, local Flame Coal chicken is the best place to get Portuguese burgers in Australia. In Caringbah. Unreal.
See, that's the thing is like you have Oporto's, but then every suburb has its own
little chicken shop.
Little local version, which is always better.
Which is unreal. But are you going to eat B-dubs on Sunday, George?
Ooh. Seems unlikely. If I had to just picture myself being there on Sunday, wings in front of me, am I eating them?
Do you know what? Incentivizes that you eating those wings?
What?
There's a pool table there.
The boys.
As well.
I didn't say I wasn't going to be there.
There's a pool table at B-dubs?
No, Robert and Kai's place has a pool.
Oh, you're going to their house? Yeah, I forgot that. Sorry. Yeah. I forgot that. I thought you guys were actually.
You were in the group chat. I was like, why the fuck is he not?
No, but I forgot that part of it. I thought the boys are going to B-dubs.
No. We're bringing B-dubs and we're watching football with the fellas.
There was no mention of B-dubs.
It says wings.
It does say wings.
George is going to make his own wings.
You can bring your own wings, George. And we won't be offended.
That. Well, maybe I will.
Yeah.
How about that?
We won't be offended. I mean, I'm actually not eating wings. I'm eating boneless wings, which is chicken nuggets.
So. Oh, nuggets. Yeah.
Because I fucking love chicken nuggets, to be honest. They're the best. Dino snacks, growing up as a kid. They fed me through my primary years.
Do those exist in Australia?
Dino snacks.
I thought was a... maybe
that was an American thing.
Yeah. No, I ate Dino snacks when I was a kid.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Cool.
Yeah,
cool.
But those are my five Infinity Stones. So.
I forgot that's the question.
That was the question
we were answering.
That was the question.
Oh, good. Next question. If there was a fourth host, who would it be outside of recurring guests?
Outside of recurring guests? I already had an answer.
So it can't be Klecker.
Yeah, because Klecker would be amazing on this spot.
And I don't think we're allowed to count Tom Wang either.
Can we count Carlos, who almost was part of the... Remember early days? Carlos was supposed to be on this podcast.
Take me back. I don't think he was ever supposed to be.
Well, he was included.
He just had an infinite open invitation.
Yeah.
And whenever then he came upstairs.
He just never came upstairs. Do you remember that, George?
Yeah, I do.
The first time we filmed, we're like, Carlos, we're about to start. If you want to come, he's like, nah, I'm good.
That's a really hard one. I can't imagine who.
Feels like it would have to be.
Let's put it like this.
A New Zealander or an Australian.
Well, I mean, let's put it like this. Let's say that we finally do sell out to Citrus Mag or whatever. So we have this Overlord parent company and this is their plan. Like they're like, all right, We need to elevate the coffee club. We need to take it to the next level. Let's add someone new to the dynamic.
Nick Willis.
Nick.
He's Kiwi.
We wouldn't get a word in.
No, honestly, personally, I think it should be a woman. I think we should have a woman.
Definitely.
Aisha's pretty good on the Sidious one. I wouldn't mind having Aisha.
She'd be really good.
Or I'm trying to think.
Yeah, so I think either you go along your lines, George, or something that's like more similar, or you go the complete opposite.
Mm. I mean, if we've been bought out and our numbers are declining and they're really trying to step in and get things going again.
I'm trying to think like who's the biggest person that they could bring in that would make sense and that would help us have success. And I'm fully blanking.
Sydney McLaughlin.
Yes. Can you imagine?
Shikari?
Dude.
She'd actually be fun.
Centro.
Centro would be great.
Just thinking people that don't shut up.
That's my role. Can't fucking take my role away from me. I'll cause a strife.
I'm trying to think. What if we got Michael Johnson?
Honestly, Eric Jenkins is also.
Yeah, so we're just
absorbing their podcast.
Yeah. Maybe in this reality, they're absorbing us.
Maybe.
Who knows?
Gosh.
That's a really hard question, though.
It's a great question. I really enjoy that question. But we can't have any of our teammates or members. Honestly, what about... does it have to be an Aussie or Kiwi? Could we open up to...
It doesn't.
I'm thinking like I can't think of anyone who you could bring on as a host that could be there all the time, but I'm thinking maybe like every episode or every two episodes you could have like some recurring segments where you have the same person every time, like some
what's the
some,
goblin like, guy's expert. Name the goblin guy
the what?
The, from that his podcast.
Oh, that's a crazy reference.
He'd be amazing.
So
just have somebody dressed up as like a Gus.
I would be really impressed if anyone knows who we're referring to here, but this is my favorite podcast. It's the Right Now podcast with John Necrogoblicon.
What?
So
you should watch some of it.
If any of our listeners,
crazy reference.
If any of our listeners know what that is.
It's a great podcast. Ever since you showed me it, I've been watching it.
Yeah.
So good. So good.
I would love to have him.
He also just makes fun of his manager constantly.
Yeah, it's amazing. So, I don't think we have a good answer to that question.
We don't.
But we have a bunch of ideas. And I guess we'll just have to wait until we actually get bought.
What do you think? Just ask them back. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that is one that our fans could actually answer better than us, though, at the same time. I do think that. Because I think they probably have a slightly better perspective on it than we would, because we're on the inside. Oh, this is a good one. This is one that I actually personally have been waiting for, and I know Ollie has as well. We need Geordie's sourdough recipe.
Where did this come from? Defensive straight away. Doesn't want to share it. Doesn't want to share the sourdough recipe.
This is.
You would think this is a straightforward question.
It's not.
And answer,
it's but. Not. This is like.
This is not a.
It's like he's on trial here. Plead the fifth.
What are you going to do for me? what do I get out of this?
Our friendship. Christian. I don't know. Like I think.
I don't know. Bread's meant to Christian. Be shared. You know.
Yeah.
Food.
It's a very
food
Christian value.
Together.
Share bread.
I'll sell some of my starter to you.
But that's not making the bread. The starter's not
well,
the bread.
Yeah, no, you probably use any starter. No, my recipe's not even, it's not that complicated. I do a 85-15 combination of white and wheat. It's not even my, it's actually, Jenna is mostly more on the front end of making the dough. And then
you're on the rear end. You're on the rear end. She's on the front end, you're on the rear end. You're the closer. She opens up and then you close it.
I finish it with the shaping and scoring. That's kind of my in the folds.
What would you say is the most important
part? I'm better hands on.
And we got to get Jenna. Is Jenna home? Can she?
Yeah, can she confirm this?
Talk about this.
Can she confirm this? Well, honestly, we should probably just do a coffee club exclusive sourdough making video.
80% hydration is what I go with.
That sounds pretty standard.
80% hydration, 85%.
Is that altitude adjusted? 15%.
It's not really. Maybe the recipe is already altitude adjusted. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you heard it here first, guys. You can try it. Jordy B. Mrs. Sourdough, but you might need someone to open it and then you need to close it.
How many folds are we doing?
Just as many until I get, till it feels right. Probably 4 to 5.
Okay.
I normally always bake out of the fridge. Overnight proof.
Mm-hmm.
Bake out of the fridge. This isn't even recipe. These are just things I do.
So you need to know.
Freestyle it from there.
Ollie, I hope you were taking notes. We're going to be tasting your sourdough bread next week.
I've been slack on the bread making business. I used to be making a bit of focaccia, which is super easy. And then my brother came in town and he said, let's get B-dubs. No, he didn't. He's on the Chick-fil-A. He loves Chick-fil-A and Chipotle.
Who doesn't?
I don't really. I'm on the carver trend.
Fair enough.
Healthy anyway, boy. That was exciting.
We'll maybe take a couple more. This one I think is good for all of us. This is the beginning of it references my last YouTube video where I ran with Coffee Club Track Club member Seth Ruling. And it's, what's the chance we see you in a trail race one day? What do we think it is, boys?
Is that open to the three of us?
Yeah.
Oh.
5%.
5?
Mine's higher than that. That's love low. To do a trail race.
I'm 100.
Yeah. I'm probably around 75 to 80%.
Yeah.
100% chance you enroll in a trail race.
At some point in my life. Like, not as a professional. You know what I mean?
Are you thinking of going professional, George?
Well, no, I thought it just meant like a more... So,
like within the next time period, you think?
Yeah, before you... Like, I don't know if it counts if you're like 50 and you're like, you know, I'm going to get back into running.
That's what I was counting. No, I think... I would say this. I think...
While you're still pretty good at running.
I think within 1 year of retiring from running, I'll do a trail race. Does that, like, well, I guess you'd be
retiring. That's where your 100% is?
Yeah, like, you'd be retiring from...
I kind of want to do a triathlon when I retire.
We've talked about this. Just do one. You should.
Yeah.
Just got to get you a bike.
All right, so within 1 year of retiring from track running, or I guess running, what is your percentage? Is it still 75 to 80?
For trail running?
Yeah.
I definitely want to do a trail run. I think that's so sick. But I would probably...
Does that put you up to 100?
I don't...
It sounds like a good time.
Yeah, but how does this affect the farm?
That's true.
Like, I still
looking after the farm. He's doing a trail race.
I'll go up to 50.
50.
For that.
That's pretty high.
Yeah, I know that Jenna's going to... I know Jenna's going to force you to do one.
So I was going
to
say, Jenna would definitely be into it.
I know the answer is higher than that.
Jenna would definitely be into doing it.
50-50 still. Sticking with that.
Okay. That's pretty high for
George. He's playing hard to get, but I know that you're going to love it one day. I can tell.
What are the odds that we all do it one together?
It'd be so good.
That would be pretty sick.
Like a coffee cup.
Right, who would win a trail race?
I think, honestly, Morgan.
Okay, biggest argument with Kai and Robert on a run, and I think you guys might know what it's about.
Related to this?
Kind of. And I had to text Seth Ruling to back me up fresh.
What was the argument, just for our listeners?
They said that there's no way that any of us could complete a 100-mile race in under 18 hours.
Oh, yeah, this was a big...
Yeah,
they were so
passionate and confident.
Well, without training, wasn't it like just like
off
right
our
now?
Current training? Yeah, like right now, exactly. And they stipulated that it's not necessarily like over mountains or anything. Like you can be like on any terrain that you want.
I wasn't feeling that confident. What did we decide? It was 10-minute pace, right?
10:45 mile pace.
Is it 18 hours? I'm just thinking. Dude, 100 miles in a day?
I would never say it's like not like going to be the hardest thing ever. But if your life was on the line, which is what, this is what our debate got to.
It got to the last
one. Our debate got to, if you don't do it, you die. If you don't complete it, we get to kill you. That's what they said. And if you do it, you get $2 million. That's where our debate got to.
You either become a millionaire or you die.
Then yes, I think I could do it. But it would be very hard.
Because they said that they think that you would get injured, where I believe that you would get injured, but I think you could still potentially finish the race and then you would be fucked.
I've done a lot of things injured.
I think this could be one of them.
Yeah, so you'd actually be, like, you have a leg up.
Well, the nice thing is, like, we're probably pretty good at running maybe 20, 30 miles at 7-minute pace where we wouldn't feel too fucked up.
I'd feel pretty fucked up after 30 miles at 7-minute pace.
I don't think we'd be that bad.
You still feel fucked, but I think when you get to run,
is that how you would do it? Pace,
I'd probably do like this is how I do it.
This is how I do it. As hard as you could for as long as you could, and then rest.
No, I would be very, very adamant about running 7-minute pace for 30 miles, and then I'd take a 15 to 20 minute break, and then I'd run 30 miles.
You could take a long
at 8:30.
You could take a really long. Take that. How long you could stop for?
That's how I would do it.
I'll tell you my method. Ready? 30 miles, 7-minute pace. Right? I take a 20-minute break. And then I run 30 miles at 8:30. Right? I take a 20-minute break.
You're like probably so far ahead right now.
Then, then I run 15 miles at 9-minute pace. Take a 20-minute break. And then...
Classic Ollie regression, right?
He's been practicing.
I've been practicing this for years, George.
Yeah, I can believe
it. I've been practicing this for years. 25 miles at 9:30 pace.
I love it.
And the last mile, I'd probably stop at a pub, have a Guinness, and then finish.
Dude, there's no way you're not doing that.
Oh, in my career?
I'm so confident.
In my life, yeah.
You made it sound finishing. Piece of cake.
No. I mean, this could be fucking hard, but that's how I do it. Because I know that I'm not going to be too excited to run 8 or 9 minutes. I just don't run that slow.
But I think so, I think I will. You have to.
Yeah, but if you see my progression, like I'm just going to get slower. It's not slower to the point where I'm like cooked slower. It's just like I'm just going to go slower.
I could actually see you pulling this off. Because I was going to say that I think you would be surprised at how fucked you'd have to be after doing 30 miles at 7-minute pace. But I could see you doing that and just being like, oh yeah, that wasn't that bad.
How do you avoid just getting rhabdo though and actually dying?
What's rhabdo?
Just like your muscles break down so much that it goes into your liver or something.
Uncrustables.
I have a shit ton of uncrustables.
The roaches said would stop us winning recent states.
Yeah. I think that I don't know how I'm avoiding that, to be honest, but I'm definitely taking big breaks and eating a lot of food.
Yeah, Uncrustables and Gatorade.
I'm not touching either of those two things.
I'm eating a lot of pizzas. That's my goal. I'm seeing how many pizzas I can get down. Shout out to Dean Karnazes. I just think like, well, obviously we're not nearly as well prepared as probably most people that do a 100-mile race, but I think that we're actually more prepared than some people are to do crazy shit aligned with this.
Does that make sense? I think, yeah. And your point, Morgan, is like, I think we are way underestimate our ability to do something, even if it's fucking terrible.
If your life's on the line.
Yeah. I think you'd be surprised what we can, like, we are professional athletes. So at the end of the day, like, we know how to put ourselves in the ringer. It's just that, can we hobble over the line?
Seth Ruling here, giving my opinion on Kai and Robert's take. Honestly, just hearing this, I don't think Kai and Robert will finish. I think they'll, by the end of it, end up dead because it doesn't sound like their mind is in the right spot. I think I texted Morgan when he texted me this. I think all these guys, most of the OAC, most professional runners running as much as they are, could finish 100 miles in 18 hours, especially if their life depended on it. The only thing they got to have is their head right, you know? You just got to be relaxed, be chill, be accepting of what's to come. And they'd be fine. I don't think they'd have a problem with it at all. I will say rhabdo is a serious thing, but I don't think these guys will get rhabdo because, I don't know. As long as you drink water, eat carbs, you'll be fine. So I think everybody's going to be a millionaire.
Okay, I'll tell you what we should do together, and this is just because I really want to do it.
What is it, Morgs?
It's called the Marathon de Sables. Have you guys heard of this?
I don't want to do that.
You know it?
Specifically
Jordy never wants to do anything fun.
The Morocco one?
Oh, it's hard? No, I'm good. It is that one. It's 5 days in the desert in Morocco, and you run a certain distance, which I can't remember, but it's like 200 something Ks across 5 days, and you have to like carry all your stuff.
And sleep on the sand.
You sleep under a tent in the sand, but you pretty much, the sleep seems really
terrible. You just carry all your food.
Yeah, but you
from
come
the day one.
You come back to where you, like you sleep in the same spot, but you have to run carrying your stuff.
Yeah, I watched a video on it.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to do my ultimate extreme running championship?
What is it?
So you run 42 miles, but the mileage is just around the Hungry Toad pub.
Yeah.
And you run a mile, you go into the pub, order a beer, drink the beer, run a mile, you know.
42 times.
42 times. But
why is it 42?
Because I just came up with it.
did you mean to say 26?
No, 42 miles.
Oh, okay.
No, it's over 26 miles. It's an ultra. I feel like 26 miles is not hard for us.
It's been done before.
I think I'd probably make it 3 or 4 miles.
26 miles drinking a beer every mile. That's a different story.
Yeah, but again, you didn't let me finish. All right, sorry. You two fuckers. 48 hours. You have 48 hours. 2 days.
Bro, I would still struggle with the concept, I think, of drinking 42 beers in 48 hours.
No. But 42 beers, 48
it's
hours.
Quite a lot.
A mile, a beer. If you want to go home, you run home. So you run home to your place, George, wherever it is. We're not saying where it is. You run home. The mileage that you ran home, you have to drink a beer for it. So if it's 2 miles, it's 2 beers.
I don't understand.
It's so just getting
worse.
Why
would you go home?
It's getting worse.
To go to bed.
Okay. You can't sleep at the pub?
You can, but if you want to go home, you have to add on the beer mileage.
No, I'm not doing this.
My brother has the world record.
You should make that a race.
My brother has the world record for it.
Yeah, like this sounds ridiculous, but I think it's in Denver. They actually did, some friends I think started this thing. I think it's like a real thing now where they do a marathon and they hit all the Taco Bells.
I have heard that.
In like, I think it's Denver. That's like
26 Taco Bells.
Well, no, I don't think it's necessarily 26.
Oh, but they hit a Taco Bell. It's like course. A route. Do they stop at them?
Yeah, I think they do.
What do they eat?
I don't know.
Mate, I'd be into that.
You would that be good at that.
They might. They better have portaloos around the course though, because fuck me.
Dude, Taco Bell is like the main one that I've never, well, there's a couple, but that's the main biggest one that I've never even tried in my life. I've never even thought about trying
Taco Bell.
Is it good?
It's good at a certain point in your life, which is usually when you're coming back from a concert and you've had a few drinks. That's the best time. It's like, Morgan, you know when you went out in Australia and you're like, oh, I really want a kebab?
Yeah.
It's like that.
Really? See, yeah. But I would always choose McDonald's.
The problem with McDonald's, though, is Taco Bell is a lot cheaper. And where you can order, you know, McDonald's, you can do this too, to be fair. But you can order with Taco Bell, you can order like big, like family pack stuff. So like when you're with a group of people, it's a lot cheaper to do. However, Kai's on the same boat as well as Robert. After a night out drinking, McDonald's every time, always. It sounds like the best option, except unless you're George, where you make sourdough bread. But everybody else hits the fast food lane, it seems like. And Taco Bell seems to be like one of the highest rated ones to do. Although I've had some bad Taco Bell recently.
That's what I would expect.
I've had some bad Taco Bell recently. So
yeah,
I would go back to McD's every time. At least McDonald's is pretty consistently bad. So
you know what you're going to get.
You're going to get your nuggies and your french fries. I mean, Geordie's hell right now. Geordie's in hell. Talking about McDonald's. Although you like a McDonald's breakfast. I remember that little nippet of information.
Yeah.
And Panda Express.
Exposed.
You like Panda Express and a McDonald's breakfast.
Yeah.
Exposed. Anyway, next question.
Honestly, I think we've done a good job of answering them today. We unfortunately didn't get to quite all of them, but I think, I don't know.
Thanks for sending them in anyway.
Yeah, thank you guys so much.
I think we'll keep them in the Q&A bank.
I think we caused Georgia an aneurysm.
I hope our listeners are okay.
Georgia's had enough.
I hope our listeners are okay after listening to that episode, because I really feel like we didn't, I don't know.
I think I lost some brain cells.
Yeah, I feel like we...
I honestly thought, well, that was one of our best episodes.
It probably was then.
I thought it was one of our best. I mean, I'm thinking about it.
That's our finest work.
People are watching us when they've probably eaten very healthy, delicious food, or they're trying Geordie sourdough and they're listening to us just talk.
Give ourselves a pat on the back for that one.
Just talking absolute rubbish.
Yeah, actually, scratch that. Awesome episode, guys.
Well done, guys.
Yeah, we really crushed that one. But guys, I'm going to be gone for the next couple of weeks in Australia. So these boys are going to be here holding down the fort. But should still be some lovely, lovely episodes coming at you. But yeah, if you made it this far, first off, well done. That was quite the wild ride today. And secondly, have a beautiful day, a beautiful evening wherever you are. Hopefully, especially if you're watching this with your partner while you're eating dinner together, enjoy the meal. But yeah, I think on that note, it's a great place for us to wrap this up and say thank you guys so much for watching. This has been episode 207 of the Coffee Club podcast, and we look forward to seeing you guys all again next week. See ya.